You're tuned to Radio Regent, a community radio station streaming live from Regent Park Focus on RadioRegent.com. We're a volunteer-run community station, and we want your help. To pitch us a show, give us your feedback, or offer to help, call 647-344-4134. Radio Regent, the voice of your community.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us for another week of Catch the Flavor Youth Radio here on Radio Regent. I'm your host for tonight, Diamond. Everyone feels stressed from time to time. Some people may cope with stress more effectively or recover from stressful events more quickly than others. There are different types of stress, all of which carry physical and mental health risks. When someone is under chronic stress, it begins to negatively affect his or her psychological and mental health. You can encounter stress from multiple sources, including work, money, health, and relationship worries, and media overload. With being well into the school year, stress just seems to fester in every corner. So in mind of our well-being, we will discuss our thoughts about stress that can affect us negatively, both physically and psychologically. Welcome. What are some myths or misconceptions of stress that you are familiar with?
It's not going to kill you.
Anything else?
That.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, awesome. Okay. That stress is a good motivator. It is to some extent, but not too much.
Mm-hmm.
That's a myth to me.
Have you ever used these myths to, like, kind of compensate for what you're doing? To give yourself a reason, saying, okay, I'm stressed, but it's because of this.
Yeah, because it's easier to label your stress coming from one factor than for you to sit down and think that it's coming from all sorts of factors, because then you have to sort through all those things, which makes you more stressed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, I've done that just because it's easier.
Mm. So it is thought that there's something as good and bad stress, where one is beneficial and enables one to perform better and the other hinders. Do you believe this to be true, or do you believe that stress is either bad or good?
Well, it kind of depends on the situation, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
For example, can you give us...
Say, I don't know, you're at school,
mm-hmm.
and you're stressing over your exams.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that it can both be good and bad?
Yeah, it depends on
the situation.
Yeah, the situation.
Any other opinions?
Or if you're waiting on that final paycheck. It's true. That's the good part of the stress.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you get paid on the Thursday and you wait for that final paycheck, and the bad stress is the bank closes at 4:00.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then can you define the difference between pressure and stress?
Okay. You have like an assignment due, and your boss is on your butt constantly, and he's looking over your shoulder, him or her. That's constant pressure from the bosses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you have same thing, like if you're that last assignment that's due for your boss, or you're waiting for the bus, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And all those people on the subway, that's a lot of pressure too.
Because
mm-hmm.
you're
mm-hmm. in a compact space, right?
Yeah.
And the TTC is a mm-hmm. lot of pressure.
It is.
The TTC, the operators, the tokens, mm-hmm. people are rude.
Yeah.
Just straight
pretty
up.
Much.
Mm-hmm.
No, that for me is just pressure enough.
Mm-hmm.
Also, peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of youth these days are under it because a lot of them, they want that sense of belonging, but they can't really find it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pressured to do something that sometimes it's uncomfortable for them.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that stress, it would be, I guess, categorized as that negative side and would be bad stress, and good stress would be pressure?
I guess what it comes down to is stress and pressure both put you in uncomfortable situations, no matter what they are. So for me, there's not really any good or bad. It's just, yeah, so it's not really good or bad. It's just a matter of if this thing puts me in an uncomfortable position,
mm-hmm.
then it's not good, period.
Okay. So while a certain amount of pressure can motivate individuals and therefore be useful, stress is never so. Stress is a natural reaction to excessive pressure and other demands. Stress itself is not a mental illness, but can lead to mental and psychological problems. How do you feel about the use of the word stress being categorized as a mental illness among some?
I think it could be a stereotypical thing, mm-hmm. because not much, well, you can have you can be stressed, but you don't really have a mental illness,
mm-hmm.
or if you do have one, it can be stressful.
Any other thoughts?
Yeah, like for me, actually,
mm-hmm.
like I have a mental illness, and I still remember back then, like, I don't know, like, I got depressed and I felt really stressful.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay, a lot of people, some people, I don't want to say a lot of people, but some people out there would seem that they would categorize stress as a own disorder, not saying that it is, you know, intertwined with other disorders, that it itself is a disorder. To some, suffering from stress is seen as a sign of weakness. Why might societies view stress this way?
It only becomes a weakness when you show emotion towards it.
Mm.
Like, for example, if you are strong and strong-headed, a lot of people don't show their emotions to it. They either show it through either anger or sadness,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't want to categorize, for example, like for... This is what I see for the female population.
Mm-hmm.
This is just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
For a guy who is stressed, it's either he gets really angry real fast,
mm-hmm.
or he has like a violent temper.
Mm-hmm.
A woman, same thing, but like they'll either cry or show a lot of emotion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it depends which gender you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion. That's just...
Any other opinions?
I don't know. I think, sorry, can you read the question by me again?
So basically I was just saying how some people view weakness as a sign, not weakness, sorry, view stress as a sign of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
The question was, why do you think society has this view?
I just think that, and it's a really cynical, pessimistic thing for me to say, but again, it's just what I think, just me. I think just the way things are going, society is super hard.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to say, okay, well, because this is hard, you're stressful, therefore, you know, this is why you're weak, because society is on you so hard. But I don't think stress is a sign of weakness. It's just a sign. It's a sign that you're actually like really strong, because if you can actually stand there and experience it and go through it and come out of it, and find ways to cope with it, then it's a sign of strength, and ultimately it's a sign that you're human.
Yeah.
Because we're not robots. We all have our different narratives. Mm-hmm. We all have our different life stories.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things happen. Yeah. We experience things. Even change can be stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Something as simple as, let's say, changing schools or moving to a different house, all those things are stressful, but, you know, we come through it and we become stronger for it.
Yeah. And yeah, some people are afraid to show like that they're stressed out. They hide their feelings because of fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you're really open towards it, you'll be surprised that, you know, you're not alone and you can actually get help with like stress.
Yeah. So you saying that you can get help for it, right? Do you think that, it should be more put out there about having counseling, and do you actually think counseling for stress is important or should be more aware of?
Yeah, I think it's important because some people don't know how to deal with stress, and stress can actually lead, well, I think, to depression and mm-hmm. negativity and, yeah, mm-hmm. those things.
So, how could the acceptance of stress in the workplace or school better one's health and the relationship between, you know, co-workers and bosses and classmates and professors, etc.?
I think acceptance comes when everyone in the workplace, everyone in the educational environment comes together, again, my previous point, and says, hey, at the end of the day, we're all going through our own stresses because we are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only way acceptance can come in, when we don't have that, when we don't have that sort of bridge, we don't have that sort of mental light bulb moment, there won't be acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Any other opinions? Bethany, Joel?
Yeah, I think stress does affect like everyone, mm-hmm. even their relationships. So you shouldn't like say that you're alone and no one will understand because mm-hmm. you're like dealing with stress because everyone deals mm-hmm. with stress.
So how do you guys deal with stress, or what was the one turning point when you realized the way that you're going about coping with stress isn't the way that you should? Were there any like support from people or any like type of services that you guys use that has helped you and you recommend?
Not holding it in. I'm serious. Not holding in your stress.
Because, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because like I said, it will trigger emotions.
Oh, yeah.
And you will snap at somebody mm-hmm. at yeah. some point in time. For example, I seen a guy who's holding a lot of like, pressure. Mm-hmm. And at one particular mm-hmm. moment, completely went bonkers. Mm-hmm. And nobody knows why. They think it's a mental condition, but it's all the stress either from home or school.
Different factors.
Mm-hmm. Different everywhere. Factors remain.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I had a similar experience yesterday. I know I'm the type that doesn't snap easily, but I don't know, something just triggered me. Like my parents, they were rushing me to get out of the house, and then I was just like so frustrated, and then I didn't want to talk to them because they're like wondering what's wrong with you. Like I couldn't really express myself because I was so stressed, and yeah, I just broke down in tears.
So how do you guys cope with stress, like personally?
I actually have a journal. I write down every emotion I have, like, whenever I'm stressed out.
So has that always been what you do, or, like, have you been, yeah?
That or listening to music, either.
Yeah. Anyone else?
I think for me, how I cope with stress, again, like I said previously, is acknowledging that I have it and that I have limits, and I'm a person. I'm not expected to carry all this pressure, all these demands, even though they're there and I need to complete them. I'm not expected to carry them and be like, okay, I'm 100% pristine and fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that it's good to laugh.
Absolutely.
Best medicine.
Best medicine. Like, it's super good to laugh. Like, even before we came here, we spent like a good hour cracking up.
Until you cry.
Yeah, and crying is good too. It's good to laugh. It's good to cry. Good to have emotion. It's just a really good way of releasing whatever stress is. And then you come back and you look at your stressor and you're like, okay, what is another approach I can look at this before it builds up and it becomes something that's super unhealthy? What can I do? Sit down and be logical about it and think about it. And hey, and if you have to get support.
Mm-hmm.
For me, like I said, I'm going to go on the record. I'm going to the doctors to go get checked out for stress. And for me, I don't believe that, you know, I have to go sit at a doctor's office for someone to tell me what I already know. But again, it's another way of support. It's another way that they can cope. I can cope with it, and they can say, okay, well, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to moderate your lifestyle or make whatever changes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, change is good. If it's good if you have support.
Mm-hmm.
And any support is good support.
Yeah, that's so interesting how you're saying about how you're going to go to the doctors for stress. And as you were saying that, I was thinking, like, how do you diagnose that? Like,
you can't. Something's so abstracted.
It is.
It's natural feeling.
Mm-hmm. But then it can only be diagnosed because it matches up with what is physiologically there, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. But then not really, because you can get heart palpitations for any yeah. sort of reasons. You can die from stress. Yeah, you can be nauseous for any sort of reasons, not just stress. You can be nauseous because, hey, your body doesn't agree with something, so you want to puke. So is it diagnosable? To be continued.
Yeah, that's interesting, because you know how the previous question where I was saying how people believe stress to be a mental illness,
yep.
and we were talking about, you know, the physical sides of it.
Yep.
How do you diagnose that mentally? Like, how, if you understand, do you guys have any ideas how that would go about?
I'm not a mental health professional, so I don't want to make any sort of leaps or anything for mm-hmm. me. I just don't know. Mm-hmm. Me as a person, I don't know, and I'm not a mental health professional, so I can't say. I don't know how you can diagnose mm-hmm. and you know, make the differentiation of where stress ends and mental health begins. You can't, mm-hmm. because those things would be intertwined. One causes another, and it's a sort of interlinked relationship. So for me, I don't know how diagnosis would go.
Mm. I think you have to know yourself first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Human,
yeah. Of course.
You have to know your body.
Yeah,
first.
Know who you are. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So, stress during your times during school, whether it be high school, elementary school, university, how did you guys go about that then? Were there any support that the universities gave you? What has differed from how you think go about stress, how you think about stress now, or what stress means to you?
Yeah, back when I was high school, I had counseling. I dealt mm-hmm. with counseling because, like, I was the type that was, like, shy and didn't really encounter anyone. Like, I wouldn't tell anybody that I'm dealing with stress
mm-hmm.
until I got counseling. And then I got, like, help. My counselor, like, started just talking, like, positive words, encouraging words to get me through that stress.
Anyone else?
Yeah, same here. I had a guidance counselor in high school. Which is, I don't want to date myself, but you know, years back, I had a really good, you know, relationship with my guidance counselor, and she, whenever I was in a jam or I was thinking something, I wasn't sure of what decisions to make, especially when you're in grade 12 and you have university applications coming up, you have college applications coming up, and you're not sure what to do. That's also another life decision. She really helped me navigate through those things. But then as I got older, I wondered, how far does the educational support system mm-hmm. go?
Yeah.
It can only go so far. Once you graduate, it's kind of like, okay, we can only support you this far. Mm-hmm. Bye. The same mm-hmm. thing with college and university. You're in the support system. They accommodate you. They do whatever they have to do to support you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you graduate out. And then what else is there?
Yeah.
So I think for me, the strongest support I had for me was based at home.
Mm-hmm.
My parents, really, because they're different people. My mom is the type of person that's like, my mom's really like loud and energetic. You know, she's mm-hmm. African, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, Erica, you can do it. It's okay. I love you, you know. And my father's like the logical type. Like, you know what? You can do it. Just calm down, relax. Look at it later and chill. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, the strongest support I had was at home, because mm-hmm. it was the most constant.
Yeah, my parents are exactly like that. And I'm at that stage, like you were saying, where like all the college and university oh, yeah. applications are coming. And like, I'm so stressed right now, oh, like yeah. with work, because grade 12 is a whole different it jump, is. You know, like even grade 11, from grade 9 to grade 10, it's like grade 9, you know, I'm here now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of stressed to like keep yourself afloat with the people around you, and then there's the grade 10 where people are just like, you know, it's just like last year I got this, and then grade 11 it's just like bam in your face, you know, you mm-hmm. go from like academic to college and university mm-hmm, yeah. and it has that jump. And I felt like it wasn't like, when I asked people how it was, they said yeah, it's hard, but like I didn't really feel like they warned me enough.
They don't.
You know, like it was just thrown, like the expense, like the level of like knowledge you had to achieve, the level of to critique things was just different, you know. And then when I got into grade 12, it's a whole different, like, you know, that stress of choosing where you want to go, what you want to be. And I feel like not saying that I had help from guidance counselors, right, and teachers, but moving from different high schools, it's a totally different thing. Exactly. Moving from Scarborough to Toronto, I feel like there's more. Yeah, it's a whole different life. The school life is different. The support is different. The opportunities are different, you know, even though the schools were like, you know, it was an athletic school. So like you expect a lot of like, you know, opportunities and support for like, you know, but like it was a whole different thing for me, you know. And I got there and I talked to guidance counselors downtown. And I honestly, I felt like I had more support in Scarborough. Like, I guess because it was just smaller, a smaller school, smaller students, smaller that intimacy, that one-on-one. But I didn't really get to see the guidance counselor that often downtown, right? But in saying that, I feel like there is more scholarships available to you, more, like, regarding where you live and your situation. And like you said before, family is a big factor. You know how family supports you and all that stuff. But also, I wanted to know if there was any clashes, like how you cope with stress is different from your family at home. Were there times where like grandparents, you know, cousins would be like, you know, say like, why don't you just go about stress this way? Stress, you know, it's just because you're young. You don't really know what stress is. Have you guys ever gotten that?
I think the biggest clash for me, and it wasn't me particularly, but just culturally, because I'm Black and because I'm African, it's kind of like whenever I tell my relative that, yes, I'm stressed about A, B, C, D, they don't understand because they're like, well, when I grew up, we grew up poor. We didn't have a roof over our head. We didn't have food in our belly. And yet we were happy. So what do you need to be stressed about? Get over it.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Yeah, my parents is like the opposite. They're like really supportive. So they're just like, don't stress. Like
mine too.
Yeah, just don't stress.
Yeah, like, I've actually been in a situation where I guess being from two different cultural backgrounds or being from different aspects, like where we lived in the city, I would talk to certain people and like, you know, as friends, you would kind of go and like tell them like, oh, I'm stressed about this and this and that. And then you realize just because you're from a whole different world that what they believe is stress to you doesn't necessarily mean stress to them. Have you guys experienced that?
Yeah, definitely.
Can you guys give examples?
Yeah, like what I was saying, the cultural thing, I mean, I come from a family where I'm African, so like I go back home and I see the actual villages, the actual poverty. I see the actual poverty and I come back here to North America and I tell them I'm stressed and I'm going through this and they laugh at me. My cousins laugh at me and they're like, what do you need to be stressed about when you have, you're in a place where you have all this stuff available to you and it's like... And I'm like, and it makes me frustrated because it's like, because they see physical stress, they don't pay attention to my internal stress. And I'm even trusting you to open up to you that way. And then you kind of dismiss it. So that makes me even more stressed.
Do you think more people should have education about stress? Like not only like guidance teachers, like I was saying, you know, how some areas that I've been to, the guidance teachers have more, know how to cope or tackle stress with students, etc. Do you think more people in society, whether that be like businesses or like shops and all the stuff in the workplace, should know more about how to cope with stress, etc.?
Yeah, I would think so, because it would actually really help. So, like, when the next time they're stressed out, they know what to do next. So,
So any more opinions? So, just as some feel worried about seeking a doctor about mental illnesses, do you think that it's okay, even necessary, to seek a health professional when feeling overwhelmed with stress? And why do people feel so ashamed or afraid to seek help?
Judgment. That's the key word here.
Yeah.
Judgment.
Always.
Because society, we're living in a society that people love to judge people based on race, color, and stress as well. Because people are so quick to make fun of things they don't understand. All right? Prime example, me. Okay? I'm a security guard. All right? and I have to answer to the public. It can be very stressful at times, but in my mind, I'm thinking about that paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest here. That sometimes calms me down. Says, you know what? I'm earning a paycheck. I'm mm-hmm. making money. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people on the streets,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean I'm better than that person, but I know where I'm going to also try to help that person.
Mm-hmm.
It eased my mind a little bit because, you know, I have a good job, a place to go home at night.
Mm-hmm.
That should ease the stress as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not thinking being homeless is a terrible thing too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just thinking about what I know this sounds selfish, but like I think about my inner circle
mm-hmm.
making that money. You know what I mean?
Because
a lot of people don't have what I got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's my take on it.
Does anyone have any last opinions?
Nope, I concur.
Yeah.
So. Thank you to our guests for staying with us for this part of the show. Sadly, we're all out of time for this part, this half. So we have more to discuss. So stay tuned after the musical break. You do not want to miss it.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for joining us for another week of Catch the Flavor Radio, Reader Regent. I'm your co-host, Erica. So, community, what does that phrase or word bring to mind? Is it a village where its residents have their own part to play? Or is it a place where the residents collaborate as one to a goal that is bigger? Former U.S. President Clinton said, "Let's create an integrated global community where we have shared benefits and responsibilities, and we don't fight because of our differences." So the TD Center of Learning is a place that promotes just that, a united community that encourages the educational and interpersonal growth of every community, every individual rather, in it. In this case, the Regent Park community. Programs available are the academic upgrading, clear language and design, digital storytelling Toronto, the immigrant women integration program, the One Voice community radio, and youth empowering parents. So here with us today, we have Natalie Usolino from the TE Center of Learning. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. So first question. So I know you come from the TD Center of Learning. So when was it established, if you want to give us some background context?
Okay, so the TD Center of Learning was actually, I think it was around 30 years ago. It started as East End Literacy. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was like over 10 years ago, around 10 years ago, that we changed to be the Center for Community Learning and Development. Mm-hmm. But we've always been like located in Regent Park. So we originally started at the Gerard Library on the second floor.
Okay.
And then we expanded to have our own sort of center at the corner of Dundas and Sackville. So we've always been like really in the heart of Regent Park.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Great. So what's the objective of the TD Center of Learning?
Okay, so there's quite a bit of objectives that we have, because as you've listed off a lot of the different programs, mm-hmm. we also have, we also run the Regent Park Catering Collective, which is a really big thing going on right now. So we do a lot, I could say like the general theme that we do is skills-based training. Every single program that we run, it does focus on creating a certain skill set from the students or participants. So whether mm-hmm. it's academic upgrading, there's always the goal of employability, as well as IWIP, that's training women to be community leaders, and as well as there's a goal of employability there. Mm-hmm. And the Regent Park Catering Collective and Regent Park Sewing Collective, those are two community entrepreneurship programs that we run. So we really want to give a lot of independence out to anybody that walks through the door. We want them to realize their own skills. So it's quite hard to answer that question, but yeah, I think that's like the best way to answer it.
Okay, so what is your role at the center?
So my role, I'm the academic upgrading lead. So I'm the program lead. So I basically run the academic upgrading program, which is an adult upgrading program. So that focuses on like adult literacy and stuff like that. So I just oversee the instructors and make sure all the students are happy and they're enjoying the program. But I also do a lot of other work. Working in non-for-profit, I think you have to kind of be spread quite thin throughout your organization. It gets kind of stressful, but basically just tending to all the participants' needs and just connecting them to different organizations and different kind of community hubs that exist in Regent Park.
Mm-hmm. So I know that your role gets kind of stressful. You got to be spread thin, and in this sort of helping profession, there's the potential for burnout and things of that sort. So, but what do you like about your role or your job?
I love my job a lot. I like that it's exhausting. I do get to put myself in a lot of other people's lives, mm-hmm. and I work as like a frontline staff, and I work directly with the people. So everyone in the community. Pretty much anyone that walks through the door, they have to talk to me first. So I really like that aspect because I feel like I have really good intentions for helping out individuals in the community. So that's the part of my job that I love the most, is just that I get to just talk to people all day sometimes, and I get to make really good connections. And I've done that since like the beginning of my job. So it's quite rewarding.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So since from its early origins, what are the ways in which the TD Center of Learning has evolved?
We've evolved from just being a basic adult literacy program to, like I said, something much more. So we do focus a lot on like community entrepreneurship The Immigrant Women Integration Program is also a really good program that we run because it's designed to be like a university program. Mm-hmm. So I think that as an organization, we've grown to show that you can take individuals from a community like Regent Park and put them in something very challenging, and they can actually be quite successful from it. So a lot of good things have come out of IWIP, even just specifically. There was a community garden initiative that was created by a past IWIP graduate that Justin Trudeau actually visited. Mm-hmm. I think it was last summer. As well, like the Regent Park Catering Collective and Sewing Collective. Those are really big expansions for us because it's quite different from an adult literacy program. Mm-hmm. But it still connects to the theme of like skills-based training, like I've talked about before.
Okay. And what I really like so far is that the TD Center of Learning, it really helps people try to sort of reach to their full potential and sort of realize what they can do. So one of my next questions here is, I know what programs are available, but how can people get involved, and like what capacity can anyone get involved?
We really do like volunteers. Volunteer tutoring is a huge thing at the center. A lot of our volunteer tutors love doing it. They come back every year. We've had some people volunteering with us for quite a while. Mm-hmm. So that's one way people can get involved. We do take in lots of placement students. I was a former placement student at the TD Center of Learning. Mm-hmm. So we're very open to different kinds of help, and just people that want to invest themselves in the same kind of motives that we have. Mm-hmm. We're all about protecting Regent Park and maintaining it as a strong community. And we want to prove to everybody outside of Regent Park that this is not what its reputation holds. And there's so much innovation that's so unknown. Mm-hmm. So we just want people that want to showcase that as well coming in through our doors.
Great. Awesome. So just asking you, Natalie. Which one of your programs are the most utilized, and why do you think that is?
I think the one of our programs that's most utilized is academic upgrading is our biggest program. A lot of people do come through that. So the reason why I say that is because a lot of newcomers and people that are just settling into, let's say, just Canada, mm-hmm. they come through our doors because the academic upgrading program can bridge them to different kinds of things. So it can help them get their high school diploma if they haven't had access to education. Mm-hmm. It can bring them into different college bridging programs to help them get their careers back on track, because a lot of our students actually come with high degrees from their home countries, but because they're not recognized in Canada, they're put at a huge disadvantage. Yeah. So our job is to kind of make the process of them transitioning here as easy as possible. So we're partnered with George Brown. So a lot of our academic upgrading graduates will go to their bridging program and then continue on the kind of work they were doing back home, or even continue their studies back home. Mm-hmm. But another program that I would say is quite utilized is probably the Regent Park Catering Collective. A lot of women in the community are a part of it. We are actually running a business course for those women now to give them even more skills. So mm-hmm. a lot of people and organizations in the community order food from the organization, and then it supports a lot of women too. So I think that those are two really strong programs that we have that help Regent Park directly.
Okay. And I think you touched on it briefly in terms of the Immigrant Women Program. I know that the Regent Park community has had a lot of revitalization and growth, especially around immigration. So speaking specifically to the TD Learning Center, what initiatives are in place to keep up with that growth?
So we have quite a bit of initiatives. We do focus quite a bit on supporting women. We do quite a bit of work with Muslim women. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of support given out for that in terms of skills training. So with IWIP, it's all about community leadership and focusing on community needs. So all the women, all the students in the IWIP program have to do a placement at a community-based organization. Uh-huh. I think it's about 300 hours. So they really have to work directly in the community, like doing a job, not like mine, but doing something very similar, where they have to be working directly with people. They have to be faced with different kinds of needs and people demanding different needs. And they have to focus on mainly priority neighborhoods mm-hmm. because those are the neighborhoods that have the most needs. Mm-hmm. So the IWIP program really does show that women with a diverse range of background, like educational backgrounds from their home countries, can come here and they can sit in the same classroom, and all with their different kind of ideas and ways of thinking, they can actually all come together to make a difference. Mm-hmm. Because the work that IWIP does produce is quite, it's quite impressive.
Yeah, it seems so. And so just asking you you again, Natalie, what do you think makes the TD Learning Center stand out as an organization?
What makes us stand out is that we have a really amazing staff. We have a lot of passion. All the members all the members of staff at the TD Learning Center all put in a lot of energy, a lot of their energy and a lot of time into just creating and making sure that all the students and participants feel like they're very valued. Mm-hmm. And all the programs that we run, it gets kind of overwhelming that it's like we do like a yoga program too. We did self-defense, and then we had like a Saturday workout thing just for women on top of all the other programming. We even run like a Spanish class, and we had like an Arabic course over the summer. So we have our core programs, and then we have all of these side projects that happen. So I like how we are like a revolving door of different kind of things. Because like even as I'm talking, there's so many different programs that are popping up in my head. Like yeah. We have a journalism course going on too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's just so many different things that we want to offer to the community that are different but also really useful. So yeah, it's just a very colorful offering that we can give.
Okay. And I think this touches on my next question, but how does the TD Learning Center like affect the health of the community?
I think it affects the health in a really positive way. A big focus for our students is self-care. We focus a lot on self-care and maintaining that. And we show them that if you don't take care of yourself first, then you're going to kind of be quite immobile.
Yeah.
In whatever other aspects of your life you're trying to accomplish. So I think that mental health is something that we try to focus on a lot, mm-hmm. More so than anything.
Okay. And what drew you to work at the TD Center of Learning?
Well, I was actually a placement student there. So I was interning there for a course I was taking at U of T. It was a political science course about civic engagement. Mm-hmm. And so I was basically interning there. And once my hours stopped, I just continued to stay. Yeah. And then I was offered a contract. So I kind of just was, I don't want to say thrown into it, but I just kind of grew into the role. Mm-hmm. And I've done a lot of different roles there. So I just keep staying and I don't want to leave.
Oh, okay. So the center found you.
Yeah, pretty much. And I really love this community. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the suburbs. So okay. Coming to Regent Park and like seeing how much of a supportive community it is, I was really welcomed quickly. So I fell in love with the community more than anything.
So is there, I know there was a graduation that was, that's coming up soon that you guys are about to do. So can you tell us about that?
So yeah, so we have our graduation tomorrow night. So that's where all the students graduating from all programming. We have a celebration for them. We hold it at Daniel Spectrum, mm-hmm. Which I think is really cool because that's such a pinnacle point for the community as well. So it's really cool because we give out awards to individuals in the community that do like exceptional work, as well as to our students. Mm-hmm. And it's a really good way to motivate them and to show them that they are coming to Canada and the immigration system here, it's not quite favorable to a lot of the students coming in, depending on what country they're coming from, right? And even what religion they have or what skin color they have. So when they come into our center, they're treated as an equal and they're given a lot of dignity and respect. So I think that by us holding a really cool graduation ceremony, like there's artistic performances and lots of speeches and really cool things like that, it just exposes to them how valued they are. And just because they are struggling within a system that is trying to, it seems like it's trying to keep them at a disadvantage. They understand that there's a lot of people on their side, and it really pushes them to go towards like extraordinary goals.
So it's a motivation type thing.
Yeah, and we just like to celebrate with the students. They have to do work all year, so it's nice to just see them get dressed up and have fun.
Okay, and fun's always good.
Yeah.
So anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
Just if anyone is interested in joining the program, you basically just have to walk right through the doors. My name is Natalie, as you guys know. So if you just ask for me, I can pretty much, put you guys into any kind of programming you want. We have adult academic upgrading. We have an immigrant women integration program. We run a sewing program every Friday, and we have a yoga class every Wednesday at the community center, as well as a journalism course held every Tuesday night and a Spanish class held every Wednesday night.
Great.
And all the programming is free, and it's open to any member of the community, any adult member of the community, regardless of any kind of status.
Okay, perfect. So that's all the time that we have. So that's all the time that we have for today. Please join us next week at the same time, 6 to 7 p.m. for another episode of Catch the Flavor. Thank you, Natalie, again for coming on and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
And stay tuned, because up is Murphy Brown right after this musical break.